This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Once upon an office so dreary, Wendy's HR presentation made everyone weary.
Was it a bore?
A snore. Could have used more charm, for sure.
That's it?
Wendy opened Canva, looking ecstatic. She began to work her magic.
Docs, prints, presentations galore. All in one design. Not dull anymore.
The next day, Wendy wowed the crowd. They clapped loud.
I feel so proud.
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at Canva.com.
Well, good evening and welcome to the John Whitmer Show. No Chiefs game tonight. You got to wait till tomorrow night. But congratulations to any Broncos fans out, in particular my producer Phil, big Broncos fan, huge upset win on the road. Happy you joined us tonight here at your local liberal resistance headquarters, where we proudly champion the core conservative principles of limited government, individual liberty, free enterprise, and traditional value. You know, those things that just absolutely drive liberals crazy. Thrilled to have you with us this evening. If you'd like to call in, you can reach us at 316-869-1330. You can email me at john@knssradio.com or on Facebook and True Social at The John Whitmer Show. And, of course, you can find me on X at John R. Whitmer. Reach out. We'd love to hear from you. Don't forget, coming up this Saturday is the Governor's Choice Chili Feed and Forum. It's being hosted by the Cowley County Republican Party down in Winfield. All of the currently declared GOP candidates for governor will be there. I will be there hosting, moderating, whatever word you want to use. We'll be broadcasting live starting at 6:30 right here on KNSS. So if you don't want to drive down, I understand the venue is almost sold out. So if you want to join us, I think they've got capacity for almost 200. I believe it's almost sold out. So
that's great.
Yeah, should be a big crowd. And then if you don't want to drive to Winfield, you can tune in right here live on KNSS. We'll be broadcasting the entire evening, but it's the first time that all of the Republican gubernatorial candidates will be in one room for a forum. So we've got a great evening planned.
And this is 90 minutes, right?
We're going to broadcast for 2 hours planned.
Okay.
So if everybody shows, then everybody will get a certain number of questions. If one or two don't for whatever reason, I'll just give everybody else more questions. Okay. So should be a lot of fun. We'll be broadcasting live, so make sure you tune in. In the meantime, this evening, we've got a great lineup. 4th District Congressman Ron Estes will join us here in studio to kick off here a little bit later in the 8 o'clock hour to discuss the Schumer shutdown. Coming up here in just a few minutes, Christina Bobb, who served on President Trump's legal team. She was the president's lawyer on election integrity for the 2024 election, will give us a firsthand account of what really happened during the FBI raid on Mar-a-Lago. House Speaker Dan Hawkins will be with us here in studio to talk about whether or not there's going to be a legislative special session to tackle redistricting and the Supreme Court's decision to, change your ID on your driver's license. What could possibly go wrong? Genevieve Howerton will join us to discuss her campaign for City Council District 3. And Tanner Temple from Americans for Prosperity will stop by to talk about the importance of next year's vote on judicial selection. And, of course, we'll be taking your calls at 316-869-1330. So we've got a great show for you. Before we get to that, though, I mentioned redistricting, and I want to take a minute to talk about it because the way I see it, and I talked about it a little bit last week on the show, but I just want to emphasize how important this is because I do think that we're at a crossroads. And I think that, that this issue of redistricting is the front lines of the fight. We've seen a lot over the last few months about how dangerous the left is, both on rhetoric and literally physically with their violence. The left has normalized poisonous rhetoric, hatred for conservatives, contempt for law enforcement. We see that every day at ICE facilities across the country. And frankly, their justification for political violence. And we can mourn, we can pray, we can demand justice, but we can't just stop there because prayer without action is effectively surrender. We have to act. We have to act strategically, lawfully, and most importantly, relentlessly. And right now, one of the most important battlegrounds for conservatives is redistricting. And I know people are like, oh, well, that's just nerd talk. That's political junkie talk. But it's the fight for representation itself. And we've been lax in this fight. We've ceded the ground to Democrats. They've been using gerrymandering as their favorite weapon of choice for decades. They slice and dice districts into pretzel shapes and pack conservatives into corners and then rig the game before a single vote is cast. And they do it with a straight face while lecturing us about democracy and fairness and disenfranchising voters. And the media lets them get away with it. And we've seen it. States that vote 50-50 politically, yet Democrats walk away with a supermajority of seats. There's no representation for Republicans. That's manipulation. That's how they've built permanent power, by drawing the rules to favor themselves. And we need to stop pretending that this is fair. It's not. Let's stop pretending that this is someone else's fight, because frankly, now it's our turn. Now it's Kansas's fight. Too many conservatives have said, oh, well, that's for the lawyers, or that's for political consultants in D.C., and that's just wrong. That's just malarkey. It's bullpucky. Redistricting is the front line of political power. And it's about your local school board, your county commission, your state legislature, and it's ultimately about the laws that govern your life. This isn't just a problem for Pennsylvania or for California or for Texas or Florida. It's a problem for Kansas. And if we want conservative victories to actually stick, if we want to translate the national momentum into local control, then we have to win this fight. And let me be clear, fighting for fair maps, it isn't cheating, it's restoring fairness. Both parties draw maps. The difference is Democrats do it to entrench power, conservatives do it to reflect reality. We do it to balance the scales. We're not manipulating the game, we're finally playing it. We're finally unrigging it. Because when maps are fair, the conservative majority in this country finally gets heard. Without fair maps, the left locks in decades of control over legislatures, over courts, over school boards, decades at a time. And that's why it's so important that we do this. Look what's happening around us. We've seen conservative leaders get attacked, ICE agents get assaulted. This is what they do when they're in power. And so we have to do something stronger. We have to push back. And that's what redistricting is. And it's the long game. And we have to think of it that way. And it's not complicated, it's not technical, but it's complex. And we have to be in the rooms where these maps are drawn. We have to elect governors and legislators and secretaries of state who are willing to take this fight to the battlefield. And right here in Kansas, that means one thing: it's time for a special session. The legislature must get back to Topeka and draw congressional maps that reflect reality, that Kansas is and always has been a red state. Now, this is how we win, not by complaining, but by organizing. not by reacting, but by planning. Not by shouting online, but by taking power back. And look at Cherise Davids. She didn't win just a congressional seat. She built a progressive pipeline into city councils, into school boards, into county government, into Johnson County legislative districts. And that's what's held that blue tide in check. Conservative maps. That's why this fight matters. It's not a Johnson County issue. It's not a Kansas issue. From Pittsburgh to Paola, from Goddard to Goodland, this issue affects us all. So it's an American issue, because if we lose representation, we lose everything that follows. Redistricting sets the rules of the game. And if we want to protect our schools, our tax base, and our freedoms, we have to win the fight. When the left tries to rig the game, we'll be the ones to stand up, blow the whistle, and take back control. Lawfully, openly, and unapologetically. We're not asking for shortcuts. We're demanding courage, strategy, organization, and action. But our representatives have to be up in Topeka to do this. So if you love this country, if you believe in self-government, then it's time to move. Because the fight starts here, it starts now, and it starts with us. So I encourage you to call your state representative and your state senator and demand that they call a special session, demand that they vote yes to redraw new congressional maps that better represent Kansas. We'll take a quick break, and then Christina Bobb, who served on President Trump's legal team on election integrity, will give us a firsthand account of what really happened during the FBI raid on Mar-a-Lago. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. Want to remind you about our friends at Americans for Prosperity. Don't forget, they do their Day of Action. It's usually the third Saturday of the month. That'd be the 18th this month. I think that's when they're going to do it. Either way, I'll keep you updated. But it's a great way to get engaged, to make a difference, get out there, talk to voters, help to educate voters about the upcoming elections, and make a difference. You have the power to change the trajectory of our country, of our county, of our city. Make your voice heard today. Visit AmericansForProsperity.org and sign up. And, of course, while you're online, like and follow the John Whitmer Show. It's a great way to get all the latest updates on the show. Democrat-appointed federal judges have ruled against the president on National Guard deployments, tariffs, deportations of criminal illegal aliens. Yeah, pretty much every common sense action he's tried to undertake. You name it, the left's lawfare against President Trump seems never-ending. And, you know, this is nothing new. With us now to discuss the ongoing lawfare against the president is Christina Bobb. She is author of the new book, Defiant, Inside the Mar-a-Lago Raid and the Left's Ongoing Lawfare. She, after the 2020 election, Christina joined President Trump's legal team to focus on election integrity for the 2024 election. Christina, thank you for joining us. It's a pleasure to have you back on the show again.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. I'm thrilled to be here.
So, if you think about it, this president, from facing, legal challenges while in office and out, and then attempting to take him off the ballot, literally take the name off the ballot, it's crystal clear the left has weaponized our judicial system against him. And now that he's back in office, they just keep the old ball rolling.
Yeah, I know, you're exactly right. But it's not just against him. It's against the American people, too, which is really what I hope people take away from my book. Because I was President Trump's custodian of records and his representative on site during the raid and before. So I got to see all the buildup, everything that transpired. They didn't have probable cause. They lied to the court. The court was conflicted. I mean, yes, the goal, as you say, was trying to go after Donald Trump, and they're still going after Donald Trump. But the reason they're doing it is because they want him out of the way so that we, the American people, don't have anybody to defend us against this tyrannical, oppressive government.
Yeah, there's an interesting website. If you Google it, you just Google lawfare. But it's an interesting mm-hmm. website because it tracks the litigation that's currently going on. There are 342 active cases challenging Trump administration actions. And It's, I mean, that's crazy, yeah. The amount of cases. And it's, again, you know, they're defending stuff that is so common, or they're rather attacking stuff that's so common sense. And I think what Americans see unfolding in real time is this unhinged lawfare campaign. But fortunately, it is falling apart, isn't it?
It is, but they're doubling down on it. And I think why we're seeing so many civil lawsuits is because they no longer have the Justice Department to do their dirty work, right? They were wielding the Justice Department as a weapon to shut down and hurt anybody who opposed the government or just didn't support their political views. And they can't do that now because Donald Trump is in control of it. So they're doubling down on the civil side, which is why we're seeing this massive influx of civil litigation, which is honestly, I think it's so destructive to our country. But thank God that President Trump is pushing back.
Well, you know, what's interesting, and I'm glad that you've got your book coming out, because if you look at the two, you know, the two raids, for example, the raid on Mar-a-Lago versus when the FBI looked into Joe Biden's record keeping, the press was so outraged at how dare they look at Joe Biden's record keeping. But, you know, oh, of course, the raid on Mar-a-Lago was completely justified. The way the media covers the two stories.
Yeah, and they didn't raid Joe Biden's home.
No.
Yeah, they had people looking at things, but we did the same thing with them. We fully cooperated. The president told them to their faces they could see whatever they wanted. He was in lawful possession of everything that he had. He had not done anything wrong. They did not have probable cause, which is ultimately why they brought the case in Florida. They were trying to bring the case in Washington, D.C. as some sort of Hillary Clinton espionage email scandal type story. But they could not get enough probable cause to get an indictment in Washington, D.C. So they had to shift gears and bring an obstruction of justice case in Florida, obstructing the investigation of something that wasn't a crime. There was no originating crime for them to charge. So, I mean, it's just absolute mental gymnastics to think that there was anything that they could legitimately go after Donald Trump. So in defiant, which I'm super excited, I don't know if you noticed, but the president actually did the foreword for it. So I'm really proud of that. That's really fun. But I've got all the text messages, the emails, all the dialogue, every discussion that I had with the Department of Justice and the FBI leading up to the raid, during the raid, after the raid. I've got testimony in there. I mean, it gives you all the dirty details. You can figure out yourself, you know, what happened and make up your own mind. But I think the logical conclusion is there was no probable cause. Mar-a-Lago never should have been raided. And this is absolutely an attempt to frame Donald Trump for something that never happened.
We're talking with Christina Bobb, former attorney to the president and author of the new book, Defiant: Inside the Mar-a-Lago Raid and the Left's Ongoing Lawfare. Christina, you, in particular, when you were working for the president, you were really focused on election integrity issues. I know there are a lot of folks who are concerned as we're moving into the midterms. Are you at all concerned about looking ahead at the 2026 election cycle? Are you at all concerned about election integrity issues as we start cropping into, 100%. You know, the 2026 elections?
Yes, 100%. I mean, there are so many vulnerabilities in our elections, and I think there are groups using those vulnerabilities to their advantage. I think mail-in ballots are a huge issue. I think unaccountable machine counting, meaning, you know, unverified numbers that are just spit out without the ballots backing them up. I think that's a huge concern. I think it's a battle. I think that's why President Trump has focused on it. That's why he did the EO. And, you know, Abe Hamadeh, who's a congressman Abe Hamadeh from Arizona, took President Trump's EO back in March and basically submitted it as a bill to Congress to codify. And Congress hasn't done anything with it yet. So the Republican Congress is really what's slowing this down. I mean, if people have concerns about the security of our election, the fault lies with Republicans.
During the 2024 election cycle, you joined the Republican National Committee's Election Integrity Section as senior counsel. you know, there are a lot of folks who are pushing for paper ballots, election day holiday. I mean, I've always been a fan of voting on election day. I'm not a big fan of mail-in voting. I certainly don't like drop boxes. Do you think those are the ways we really need to go as we move into the 2026 election?
Yeah, there's absolutely no reason why you can't have in-person voting with paper ballots counted at the precinct level. I think it's really important to get rid of these massive vote count centers.
Yep.
That's ripe with fraud. Yeah, absolutely. And have everything confirmed. And I mean, when you break it down at the precinct level, it's very manageable. I mean, the precincts don't have millions of people in them. They have hundreds of people in them, and that can easily be counted at the precinct. So, you know, then you add all the precincts together and add the county together, and then you get the state result. But they're moving away from that to these huge counting centers, which is really causing a lot of problems, not just for making it easier to cheat, which it certainly does that, but it's also just making it more likely for error. I mean, the difference between counting, you know, a couple hundred ballots versus a million ballots, it just makes it much more likely that you're going to make a mistake, even if the intentions are good.
Your first book, the inside story of the 2020 election and what it means for 2024, you kind of painted some pictures of some warning signs, basically. Have we addressed any of those? I mean, like in Kansas, for example, we got away. We used to have a 3-day grace period here. And I've always hated that idea. Look, election day should be election day. But have we addressed any of those issues again as we're facing another major election in 26?
Some of it has. I mean, it really is supposed to happen at the state and local level.
Right.
So some states have. Some states have gone the other direction. You know, California just instituted complete mail-in, universal mail-in ballots. So we've made, I think we've made the biggest progress in the sense that people are paying attention now.
Yes.
And it's something that people care about. So that's very important. I'm not satisfied that we actually have secure elections. Heck no.
No. Well, especially when you have states that are trying to give illegals the right to vote in federal life, things like
that.
I mean, that's one of the major things we've got to fix is to get, you got to be a citizen to vote. Start there. That should be an immediate stop right there.
Totally. I mean, the law does require you to be a citizen to vote.
Yes.
The thing that makes it difficult is the states are ignoring that law, and then they're going around it and creating, you know, kind of like loopholes to get illegals registered and then mix them in with the voting population, and then you can't figure out who's who. And so they're really just muddying the water in a really unfortunate way. But they're doing it on purpose because they don't have the support of the American people. And so they're just trying to create other ballots from people that are not legally allowed to vote because those are the only people who support them. Lawful voters do not support these crazy woke policies.
No, without a doubt. Well, again, the new book is called Defiant, Inside the Mar-a-Lago Raid and the Left's Ongoing Lawfare. I mean, fortunately, we have a court that when it finally gets there, the court seems to be ruling in the right way. The problem is it takes a long way to get there. Hopefully we continue to see these victories. If folks are interested, if they want to find more information, if they want to get a copy, they can find it online at Christina Bobb, and that's BOBB.com. And they can find you on X at Christina_Bobb, correct?
That's right.
I appreciate you. Keep up the good work and, you know, put in a good word for us with the president, if you would.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me.
Coming up, Genevieve Howerton will join us to discuss her campaign for Wichita City Council District 3. And pretty cool talking to the president's lawyer. You're listening to The John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. We'll be back right after this.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building
a life. For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Did you know that parents rank teaching financial literacy as the toughest life skill? That's where Greenlight comes in, the debit card and money app made for families. With Greenlight, you can send money to kids quickly, set up chores, automate allowance, and track spending with real-time notifications. Kids learn how to earn, save, and spend responsibly, while parents have peace of mind knowing smart money habits are being built with guardrails in place. Try Greenlight risk-free today at greenlight.com/odyssey. That's greenlight.com/odyssey.
Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. Want to remind you to stay informed with up-to-the-minute news by telling Odyssey or Alexa or Google Home to play KNSS. And, of course, make sure you like and follow the John Whitmer Show on social media and follow me on X at John R. Whitmer. Well, every election cycle, we try and bring you as many candidates as we can. If there's a particular candidate you want to hear from, make sure and let me know. Next Sunday, we're preempted by the live coverage of the Chiefs game. But in 2 weeks on, what is that, 2 weeks from now? I should have been, this shows I'm not prepared. I'm just wholly unprepared. 19th. On the 19th, Brett Anderson, who's also running for city council, will be with us. We also have a phenomenal, very cool guest that I will share with you tonight, letting you know that on the 19th, Eric Trump will be with us. We have a very, very pleased to have that. And with us now is another candidate interview. Joining us now is Genevieve Howerton, who is running to defeat Democrat incumbent Mike Hoheisel in Wichita City Council District number 3. She's a lifelong resident of District 3, a real estate agent and a young entrepreneur. Jenna, thank you for joining us. It's a pleasure to have you on the show.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
So let me ask you this. I know this is your first foray into elected office. Why? That's usually my first question is, did you lose a bet? No, I mean, but seriously, why would you want to subject yourself to the perils that come with running for office?
Well, it wasn't to be a politician, that's for sure.
Careful, because you're sitting next to a politician in our Speaker of the House. So.
Honestly, it was for District 3 specifically. Overall, Wichita, obviously, but I grew up in District 3 since 2007, actually. So I've been raised there, see everything going on, and I really think that it needs some more attention and investment.
I can certainly agree with that. I've got a buddy of mine, Steve Anthemides, who owns Athena Jewelry downtown, lives in District 3, and he's often complained about the fact that it's neglected, that nothing has changed for years, that just seems like it's neglected, even certainly over the last 4 years in particular. It just seems like every other areas of the city get the attention. Downtown,
for sure.
Certainly northeast and the southeast part of Wichita, it's like forgotten over there. And in part, I think because their current representative doesn't do squat, or doesn't do squats as well. But I mean, it's, certainly it seems like it's just not getting the love.
Yeah, I would say the same thing. And I think our current representation is doing good, trying to represent downtown, but it's not District 3, and I think that's what he should be focused on.
I think you're right. I want to ask you about, there was an article in the Wichita Eagle came out this week about a forum this week. And again, keep in mind, as my mother used to say, consider the source. And it came from Dion Leffler, who, you know, we're friends, and Dion was a decent reporter, but ever since he became an Eagle opinion article or opinion editor, he's just gone far off the left edge. And he attacked you for not attending this forum. And I saw your post where you responded and explained that you had a schedule conflict. Why didn't you attend the forum that the Eagle put on? I wouldn't have attended it either, for that matter. But why didn't you attend? It wasn't because you didn't want to, from what I understand.
Yeah, obviously I try to connect with my voters, which is why I'm out on doors basically every day. But it was a scheduling conflict, which I did email them. So
yeah, and that's what I saw that you said that. I saw Channel 3 reported that you had notified them, that you'd notified the other media that you had this conflict. Dion just went off on you as if you had a personal grudge. And look, I mean, again, I wouldn't have attended because you don't have a moderator who's a left-wing editorialist try and host a moderator, you know, a forum. But I just thought it was unfair. So just for the record, you had a personal conflict. It was a scheduling issue, and that's why you didn't make it.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'm sorry to give Dion any airtime, but I wanted to give you the opportunity to respond. Let's talk about some of the issues. You know, the city's facing a budget shortfall. You've got one coming up next year. It grows every year exponentially. The biggest issue, I think, you know, you tell me if I'm wrong, but it seems my perception, and I've had the mayor on a couple times, that this is, once again, an issue of a spending problem, not a revenue problem. What, I mean, do you agree, or is this a, I mean, is this a, do they need to raise taxes again, or is this a spending issue?
I would definitely disagree with raising taxes again at this time. Talking to voters every day, I think their biggest issue that I hear a lot of is taxes, property taxes, everything. So I don't think that is an issue. I think we have a lot of money coming in, but we're not doing well at handling the money that we have, and it's just going everywhere.
Well, and yeah, I would agree. Certainly Mike Hoheisel hasn't seen a tax increase he doesn't like. And, you know, there have been some issues that I know – you know, particular issues, just like, for example,
$600,000 porta potties.
Yeah, well, they're perfect. Yes, that's a great example. I mean, don't get me wrong. If you're going to make that decision, if you're going to spend money in that area, but you know, I mean, like there are areas where I think they're misprioritizing. If you ask me,
you got a 2% art increase, which everyone loves the arts, so it's
sure.
Not that. It's just if we're facing a decrease in the money, supposedly, I don't see how we can up our art fund every single year. So,
no, and I agree with you. Even the Woj or Wichita Area Government Efficiency, they found, and the survey results bore that out.
And the surveys came from the whole Wichita area.
Right.
So.
Yes. Yeah. And you're absolutely right. If we were sitting on a budget surplus and they had extra money to burn, I still wouldn't agree with $600,000 porta potties. But if you had extra money to burn, then you can do art. But at a time when you're facing a budget shortfall, you're taxing people out of their homes in order to do porta potties and art. Maybe you should be spending that money on crime, on prevention, homeless care, things like that. We're talking with Genevieve Howerton, who's a candidate for Wichita City Council District 3. Homelessness, from what I understand, is a major issue down in District 3 as well.
Oh, for sure. We have encampments everywhere. One has been named Narnia. So, good name, but that one's actually, I don't like that one specifically because it's right next to a public park, and one that I used to go to all the time has bike path, walking path, place where families should feel safe to bring their kids, and now there's, I don't even know how many tents are down there. And so, I feel like we have an ordinance in place, and we're not upkeeping that. And so now we're allowing people just to encamp almost anywhere, and it's causing a safety issue.
Well, we're not trying to be mean to folks, but at the same time, it's the mayor was right. I mean, we have to enforce the laws that are in place. We need to all the services are there as well. We just need to make sure that people are taking advantage of those services.
Yeah, we actually just ran into a guy that has to call the cops anytime someone parks on the other side of his street because there's people that come and meet with the homeless people and they're always running in people's trash. And I don't feel like that should be an everyday problem for those people out there.
The one of the other issues that I know, you know, came up was property rights. This was an issue that came up in the forum. I did follow the article that Dion wrote about, you know, the issues. And again, I think this is probably an area that you may differ with your opponent. You know, the city of Wichita basically tried to take away, with the Crown Uptown, for example, they tried to take away a private property rights of a business owner. You know, I'm curious, is that something that you, when you've been out talking to folks, is that something that they find important, or is that, maybe I'm wrong. I could be wrong. I know it's important to me, but.
I think everyone is for upkeeping history and preserving it, but when it comes to something that I own, I don't feel like the government has any right to step in on that. So that's what I've heard a lot of.
Yeah. Well, and that, I guess that really is one of the main, where I have to kind of bring it back, is I know you've been out door knocking. I've seen your posts on social media. It seems like you and your folks are out almost every day.
I got a good crew.
it seems like that. What do you hear when you're out door knocking and talking to people, which is more frankly valuable than going to any forum put on by the Wichita Eagle? But when you're out talking to folks, what is it that, what are they telling you? What are the issues that District 3 residents are telling you are most important to them?
District 3 has been left behind, neglected. Crime rates are insane. Taxes, homelessness. Those would be the biggest things. We have a few people. We got food deserts. The streets and drainage are kind of the big ones that you hear about.
Well, and on the food deserts, my guess is you're not a fan of Mondami and going for the government-funded grocery stores, probably.
No.
But there are ways. I mean, government, see, there's where government can't create incentives,
right,
maybe, and tax abatements or things like that to help create a private sector solution. My guess is Hoheisel would probably support the Mondami solution. I noticed, well, you got one endorsement tonight, but I know that you've also been endorsed by Kansans for Life and Kansas Family Voice. If folks are interested, if they want more information about you, they can visit howertonforwichita.com, correct? And that's,
yes,
F-O-R, not the number 4.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I know where you'll be tomorrow. You'll be out door knocking, probably. But if folks have questions, they can reach you at howertonforwichita.com, correct?
Yep, sounds good.
Look at that. See, all Dion had to do was actually reach out to you. I got you on the first call. So, Jenna, thank you for coming in. I appreciate it. Wish you the best of luck, and hopefully, you know, not too far away from the election. So,
yeah.
Best of luck to you.
Well, thank you.
We'll take a quick break, and then we'll take your calls. Our studio lines are open, 316-869-1330. You're listening to The John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. Want to remind you about our friends at Americans for Prosperity. Great folks. They believe in freedom and opportunity. Those are the keys for unleashing prosperity for all. Don't forget, they are days of action, usually the third Saturday of the month. That's coming up here on the 18th. And then on the 19th, we'll have our big show with Eric Trump. So make sure you stick around. Also, don't forget, next Saturday, coming up this Saturday, less than a week away, is our Chili Feed and Forum down in Winfield. All the currently declared GOP candidates have committed to attend. And I'll be moderating, hosting. KNSS will be broadcasting the event live. So should be a lot of fun. He came in a little early, so I'm going to sneak him on now. Our Speaker of the House, Dan Hawkins, is with us. She's sharp, isn't she?
Hey, Kennedy? John. She is very sharp.
She's a pistol.
She is so sharp, I decided to give her an endorsement.
I heard that. I was like, well, ho, okay, all right.
Yeah.
She needs to put that on her Facebook page.
She should.
You know, and that's, I love, she's young. I mean, but that's okay. I love, that's what we need. We need more young people who are willing to get into politics.
It's that new generation that we need in politics, because if we can get them in at the local level.
Yes.
And they become very successful, they'll move up and they'll continue to serve our, you know, local communities, state.
Yeah.
Who knows? She could be a congresswoman someday.
Well, and what I love is that passion. And I've seen that in some of the posts and some of the people I've talked to who she's been out door knocking, because I know some of the crew who's been, and she's not paying her volunteers or her staff. It's just her friends and family who are out door knocking. She goes out every single day.
That's the way you win.
And door knocks. And, you know, they're talking to people and, you know, they're not only doing Republicans. They're out talking to Democrats and unaffiliated. And some of the biggest feedback that they're getting is, well, you know, my rep's never been here. My city council person never comes to my door. And I used to hear that. I remember years ago, Judge Bruce Brown, who recently passed away, who came and door knocked on my door, was the first person who's ever knocked on my door, and to this date is the only person who's ever come and knocked on my door.
Wow. That's unbelievable. You know, I'm in my 13th year in the legislature, and every single election cycle I would go out and knock.
Yeah, me too. I mean, for my own campaign, I think I've probably done 10,000 doors when I was a state rep. Now I've done more because I'm out almost every – my dear wife goes out every day and door knocks. And I tell you, you know, it's fun. It's good exercise. But that is the best way. People ask me all the time, you know, what's the best way to campaign? How much should I spend on this? And how much – and I can't tell them the best way to campaign is still – door knocking.
Well, and you know, John, people don't realize how important these local elections are. You know, local elections, the city elections, school board elections are the lowest turnouts there are.
Yeah.
We have got to change that. We've got to get our people out to engage in our local campaigns and to be there and vote in these elections. That's the reason why we always get Democrats.
Yes. Yes.
It's because the Democrats show up and Republicans don't. So,
yeah.
Guys out there, that's listening, get out there and vote. Got a month left to election time.
Jenna's running against, you know, a liberal Democrat. Brett Anderson, who will be on the show in 2 weeks, running against another liberal. That's two city council seats. Yeah. Imagine what Dalton and JV and Lily Wu could do if we gave them two more conservatives to help push a conservative, fiscally conservative agenda on the Wichita City Council. And for that matter, we need to get, you know, Diane and Hazel and Kathy Bond reelected at the Wichita School Board.
Absolutely.
Those three have been fighting an uphill battle for years. And if we don't want another $500 million school bond Wichita USD 259, they just reported decreased enrollment. And yet, I guarantee you, they're still going to try and push another $500 million bond.
You know, talking about that, well, you brought up another, that's a deep subject there. Close six schools, and then you want to build three new ones.
Yes. Give
me a break.
Yes. Well, there's logic for
you. How about let's keep three schools open? How's that?
And not spend $500 million.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, but that's government logic for you. You know, I mean,
Amazing. Truly amazing.
But, you know, it's easy to spend other people's money.
Sure.
And you know, I mean, well, look at who you deal with. Look at Laura Kelly. I mean, it's a perfect example is this whole thing with the SNAP benefits.
Lawless Laura, we call her.
Yes. I mean, the whole thing there. I mean, she's just the federal government's asking for basic logical information. She's refusing to do it. And now it could cost $10
million. $10.4 million, by the way.
Well, but it's only $400,000 here or there. What do they care? But seriously, there's $10 million that we could lose.
And isn't that amazing? You've got a program. So. State government programs, if we give money to whatever, we require data back. The federal government gives the state money to administer SNAP, but she's not going to give them the data they're requesting?
Well, but
that's ridiculous.
What's good for the goose isn't always good for the gander. We'll take a quick break, and then amazingly enough, the Kansas House Speaker Dan Hawkins will be with us. So that's amazing how that works. We'll take a quick break. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. We're always here for you. Let's keep it that way. Tell your legislators to keep AM radio in vehicles by texting AM to 52886 and tell Congress to keep AM radio in cars. And of course, while you're online, make sure to like and follow the John Whitmer Show Facebook and True Social pages, and follow me on X at John R. Whitmer to get all the latest updates on the show. Well, you heard it. During the monologue, I talked about the importance of redistricting, why Kansas legislators, by the way, you need to call your state rep, state senator, tell them to call a special session. When they get up there, tell them to vote yes. But why? Why is it important? Well, nobody better to ask than our Speaker of the House, Dan Hawkins. Dan, thank you for sticking around. Thank you for joining us.
It's great to be here, John.
Why? What's interesting is I've actually come around on this. When they first brought it up, I thought to myself, having gone through a special session, they're no fun. But I thought to myself, why? Why is this so important? So if a listener out there is thinking, you know, this is unconstitutional or it's a waste of time and money, why should we redo this? Why should we do this?
Well, John, quite frankly, none of us was even thinking about it. You know, thought it was just a Texas thing.
Yeah.
And then our governor came out. She was the first one in Kansas at the DGA. She's the chairwoman of the Democrat Governors Association. Yeah, all of her buddies at the Democrat Governors Association. And she said, everybody should be doing this. It's something that that the Democrats should do. There was actually some good quotes that she made, and I can't tell you that quote off the top of my head. I wish I could. But it was something like, she didn't want to not do it when somebody else was doing it. So she encouraged them all to do it.
All the Democrat states. In response to Texas.
That's right. And of course, California did it. And we expect a few more Democrat states to also take part in this. So that kind of woke us up. It really did. When you look at Kansas is a Republican state. It's a red state. And for many, many years, we had the third district. And then, Democrats kind of swept in there and took that away from us. And quite frankly, we still have lots of Republicans in that area. And I think a lot of them feel like we should be doing this. And if we don't, that Democrat wave will continue to roll.
Yeah, well, and it, just because Lawrence and parts of Leavenworth and Johnson County are running the show, Lawrence is not Kansas.
No.
And you've got the
People's Republic of Lawrence.
Exactly. Yeah. And just because you've got a couple of hotbeds of liberalism doesn't represent the state.
Yeah. No, they don't. There's even a bigger thing across the nation. Why is this important for the nation? Quite frankly, we saw what happened the last time when Congress, midterms are always a tough time.
Yeah.
And if we don't hold on to Congress, then that's going to make it pretty tough for us to get anything done. Most of our people, people may not like everything that the president says. But I bet you most people agree that they agree with his policy.
Oh, yeah. They might not like the mean tweets or some of that stuff, but I'll take that and tax cuts any day of the week.
Yeah. So
twice on Sunday.
You want to go back to a Biden day?
Right.
I hope not.
I
hope we can hold this for quite a while and get some good things done. Well, in the state's the same way, that we want our representation. We want to be represented well. And we've got three good congressmen. We'd like to have the fourth one.
Well, and that's a great example. I'll take the mean tweets and some of the insensitive comments and sombrero memes and closed borders any day of the week.
Absolutely.
And that's really what this is going to come down to. And I've had conversations with some of your Republican colleagues who think it's unconstitutional or think it's mean or think it's tit for tat or think it's, two wrongs don't make a right. And, they may have valid arguments. And I say may because I don't necessarily agree with them. And you know what I say? I don't care because Democrats have been doing. I mean, look at some of the states that they've done this in. And you know what? That's hardball politics. There's a reason you campaign. It's a war. Politics is a battle. And after you get elected, then you can reach across the aisle and you can govern. But right now, we need to play hardball because they've been doing it for years.
Well, the governor must be kind of scared of what's happening because she came out here just recently, this last week, and
said, "Don't do it."
Put out that the Republicans were going to have a hard time calling a special session. Well, it's a process, I can tell you that, and it's not an easy process, and it never was meant to be easy. We have to have 84. We have a few representatives out there that think that there's a constitutional problem, but I can tell you all they got to do is read the Supreme Court case of 2003 when Texas was the first state to ever do a mid census redistricting, and it's been done three times since then. It's been clear to the U.S. Supreme Court it is constitutional, and so that's just a red herring. That's just a crazy
cop out.
Yeah, it's a crazy man talking whenever somebody says that.
Yeah.
And we're gonna do it. We're gonna go back in and we're gonna get this done. So
we're talking with Speaker of the House Dan Hawkins. Let me ask you the other question that now has come up. And yet another reason why we need to pass, and I know my next guest, Tanner Temple, is going to kind of be able to tell us a little bit on this, is the judicial selection.
Sure.
But I want to talk about that. I want to talk about another reason why we need to do judicial selection.
Senate Bill 180.
Yes. The Supreme Court, once again, proves why we need to replace them.
Absolutely.
But Senate Bill 180 absolutely. Is, for those who don't understand Senate Bill 180, is basically the rule that said this nonsense about gender ID on driver's licenses and how dangerous that can be. But
well, it was a women's bill of rights.
Yeah.
By the way, that was the bill that we did that got me my first death threat. I got a death threat off of that one.
And yet that you know, here you have a Supreme Court that says, okay, that's right, these trannies can go in there and change their driver's licenses. The security implications of that, the confusion that could cause, there's all kinds of issues with that.
Well, there's a lot of problems with that. That piece alone is probably just the driver's license piece alone can really cause massive problems. So, you know, law enforcement stops a female. They probably are not going to be quite as on guard as they are with a male. And they go up there, maybe they're just a little bit off guard. And they find out it's a male, and now they got to react if it's a violent male, and that does
right.
happen.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Matter of fact, all you got to do is look at what's happened in the United States today. You
yeah.
know, a lot of it, there's massive transgender.
Oh, yeah.
How many, violence?
Going how on. Much violence have we seen of late? And we're not yeah. saying that one necessarily no, equates to the other.
Not at all.
But
you have to. It's important to know what's on that driver's license, and then to know it's correct. Same thing goes along with when they're serving a warrant.
Yeah.
You know, what if they're serving a warrant? They think it's a female because that's what it says because the driver's license has been changed, and they get there and they actually see a male, and now they've misidentified him and they don't even pick the person up.
Right. It's just, I'm sorry. This is not a choice issue. This is an
absolutely.
Accuracy. Look, if you want to identify as a cucumber, as far as I'm concerned, I don't care. That's your. I'm a free. Yeah. That's a little bit of libertarian
but,
in me.
But
fine.
Our government documents
Thank
need
you.
To be correct.
Right.
There's a reason why they call it vital statistics.
Right. There's a reason you can't wear a hijab in your driver's license photo. We respect your religious choice, but you still have to have a face visible. It's
absolutely.
The same kind of notion. And it's nonsense. And so this would also be something that you would take up in the special
session.
Yeah,
we would. Actually, we sent an email out to our caucus, both the House and the Senate. It was an identical email from Ty and myself, letting them know. This actually just came up Monday. We didn't find
right.
out until Wednesday when the AG called Ty and I and said, listen, this is what's happening. We need you to come into special session and get this done, get it fixed. And certainly we agreed with him and immediately sent out an email letting him know that we'll have two issues during special session instead of one.
So your goal would be to call special session. Do you have a date in mind?
November 7th is our date.
November 7th. What folks could do, what can folks do at this point? Call their reps, call their
yes.
senators, encourage them to call a session, and then encourage them to vote.
Absolutely. Everybody needs to let their representatives and senators know that we need to get into special session to fix these two issues. And ask him to vote for both of them.
Okay.
And don't be shy.
Last thing, I know I got to let you run, but you're also running for
insurance commissioner.
Yes. If folks, and you know, you've got my complete support. If folks want to information on that, what's the best way for them to find you and get that information?
HawkinsForInsurance.com.
Okay.
That's FOR, not the number four. Hawkins, FOR, insurance.com.
There you go. Folks, help Dan, support Dan, and help the legislature do the right thing, get up there and make these changes. Dan, I appreciate you. Thank you again, brother. We love you.
Thank you, John.
We'll take a quick break, then Tanner Temple, and then coming up at the bottom of the hour, Congressman Ron Estes will be with us. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. Don't forget, our friends at Americans for Prosperity hold their Day of Action on the third Saturday of every month. That's coming up here on the 18th. It's a great way to get involved, to make a difference. Great way to get out, help educate voters about the issues that are important to you, things that they need to know before they get out and vote. If you want to get involved, if you want to help make your voice heard, you can visit AmericansForProsperity.org and sign up. Great way to get out and help educate voters about the things that really matter. And of course, while you're online, make sure you like and follow the John Whitmer Show Facebook page and follow me on X at John R. Whitmer to get all the latest updates on the show. And don't forget the Governor's Choice Chili Feed and Forum, where all of the currently declared GOP candidates for governor have committed to attend. That's coming up Saturday down in Winfield. We'll be broadcasting the event live here on KNSS. And we're also trying to do another live show here of the John Whitmer Show towards the end of the month at AFP's headquarters. We'll let you know more about that. So got a whole bunch of good stuff coming up this month. So fantastic. As you know, we've talked before about changing the way the Kansas Supreme Court justices get on the bench. It's frankly, it's a way of giving power back to the people. You will get that chance next August. And with us now to tell us just how important that is Tanner Temple with AFP Kansas. Tanner, thank you for joining us. A pleasure to have you on the show again, my friend.
Yes, sir. How you doing, brother?
Thank you.
I heard the speaker on before me.
Yes.
Great guy, and my old boss right after me, Ron Estes. So two great individuals.
I got you sandwiched right in between a couple of heavy hitters. So before we get to the judicial selection amendment, I want to ask you, AFP, Americans for Prosperity Kansas, and by the way, if you follow them on X, it's at AFP Kansas on X, but you guys have a new poll that confirms pretty much what everybody knows to be true, but that people across the country believe shutdowns aren't the solution. And, you know, of course, Chuckie Schumer has known that for years, which is why he's been opposed to them up until now, apparently. But I'm just curious what your thoughts are, because I saw that tweet that you guys sent out, and lo and behold, you sent that out before the Schumer shutdown, and yet now all of a sudden Chuck Schumer's forgotten his voting record on shutdowns.
No, you're exactly right. It is a Schumer shutdown. What they're trying to enact is taxpayer funded subsidies for illegal immigrant health care and things of that nature. So we had a clean resolution going into this, and they didn't want to come to the negotiating table. So it really does land on the Democrats' shoulders with this whole shutdown.
Yeah, I figured that was the case, and it didn't surprise me when I saw your poll. I've got a poll up on X right now myself, and I think there's somewhere like 92 or 93% of the responses. I think we've had over 1,500 or so people who've viewed it, and it's like 90%, 92% that all say the Democrats are responsible. So when I saw your poll about, you know, who people thought, you know, whether or not shutdowns actually are the solution, it didn't surprise me in the slightest. But let me ask you about this Supreme Court things. And ironic that we just had this issue with Senate Bill 180, the law that defining sex as assigned at birth, because it really does. I mean, the thing allows transgender Kansans to continue changing their gender markers on their driver's licenses. But it does just indicate yet another reason why we need to change the way the court justices are selected, because here we go again, another opportunity where the court had the chance to do something right. In this case, they punted, but by punting, they're allowing this that could be very problematic, as the speaker just pointed out.
Exactly. There's a reason they're one of the most overturned Supreme Courts of the nation.
Right.
An act of the Supreme Court. Not only did they, you know, on the Senate Bill 180, they're also in a tip with Chris Kobach going back and forth on getting the information to the president on SnapData and whatnot.
Right.
On that aspect,
yeah,
as well. So this isn't the first thing they've done this year that's been an activist type, you know, board of attorneys that they operate under.
Well, and at the time, I remember when I served on House Judiciary and we looked at issues like this, I mean, back then, I think they were the most, if not, or the second most overturned court in the country. I think they are still that way. I mean, they've just been overturned. I mean, heck, they got the Carr brothers case wrong.
Exactly. I mean, it's if you, you know, the president right now is talking about tough on crime, right? And that does start with tough judges. And, you know, if you look at our Supreme Court, they've let a lot of these things slip through the cracks. As you just pointed out, the Carr brothers case, one of the most notorious murder cases in the United States. So this is the reason we're fighting so hard to get this choice back to the people so they can make decisions that get people that are tougher on crime, that are more transparent, and we know where they stand on the issues.
Well, and speaking of transparency, and by the way, we're talking with Tanner Temple from Americans for Prosperity Kansas. But the other thing that, and I'm glad you brought up transparency, the other thing that, that I don't think people even are aware, I mean, just this year, what, Laura Kelly's appointed two more of these justices. If some of the media outlets hadn't reported it, I don't think people would even know. Nobody's really vetted these folks. The Kansas Senate hasn't had a chance to. We didn't even have, like, even in the federal Supreme Court, at least you have an opportunity for the United States Senate to have a review. There's nothing here in Kansas. It's a bunch of judges in a cloistered room with, you know, smoke-filled room. They sit together and they do their thing, and then Laura Kelly makes her pick. I mean, there's no transparency. There's no accountability. There's no feedback from. It's not a democratic process in the slightest, and we just get notified after the fact.
Exactly. And this board operates again. I mean, they have more power than the governor herself.
Right.
He only gets to pick the three candidates that this board sends to him. So a lot of the people, I've been out knocking doors, and a lot of people were saying, like, well, we don't end up like Wisconsin. They've been throwing that at me. And I say back to them, at least they have a choice on who they pick for the Supreme Court. And that's all we're asking. We're just saying, give the people a choice to have the opportunity to see where the judges stand, and then let them be accountable to the people that vote for them.
Yeah, it was interesting. My wife and I were out knocking for you guys the other day, and I had someone say that same thing to me. Well, in Wisconsin, they spent millions of dollars on that election. And I thought the same thing. I was like, well, you know what? I'll take that over reading in the newspaper of some liberal woke lawyer who got appointed after the fact, and I didn't have a say in it at all. I'll put up with some TV ads if I at least get a say in the process.
Exactly. Again, that's all we're asking for, is to have that transparency, to pull back the curtain and give the people their branch of government back. This is the only type of system in the nation, the Kansas system, where we have the attorney-led board pick these and then send them to the governor. We're the only state that does that. And that has led to non-transparency and being the most overturned Supreme Court in the nation.
Yeah, I can DVR through the ads and I can throw out the mailers. Right. At least that way I can still vote and there's some accountability. Right now, there's zero accountability in this process. And it really is an example of the foxes watching the hen house, because that panel is dominated by attorneys, and attorneys who, by the way, are very likely to at some point in their careers be practicing in front of the very judges that they're appointing to the Supreme Court.
Exactly. Again, when they bring this back up, always point to them. Imagine this on a bigger scale. You have Congress as their overall seeing board, and they pick President Trump. And then 4 years from there, they pick J.D. Vance and et cetera.
Right.
Tell that to people on the other side that believe in that system. And then they'll be like, oh, okay, that makes more sense. That's what we're advocating for, is to give you that chance to vote on the people that oversee that branch of government. That's the way it was supposed to be.
That's a good example. That's a good analogy. Tanner, I appreciate you taking the time. If folks have questions, I know you've got a dedicated website just for this issue. If people want more information or have questions, what is that website again?
TakeBackTheBench.com. So if you go there and you can see our AFP links and get knocking doors with us and join us anytime.
TakeBackTheBench.com. Brother, I appreciate you, my friend. It's always a pleasure to have you on the show, my friend.
Yes, sir. Yep, give my old boss a hard time for me. He beat me in fantasy football this week.
Well, so. Did he really? Wow. And he's laughing.
Yep.
He's laughing as he just came in and he's laughing at you. So I will give him a hard time for you as much as I can, because if I do that too much, he won't come on the show anymore. So.
Yes, sir. Thanks for having me.
I appreciate you, my friend. We'll take a quick break, and then Tanner's old boss, our 4th District Congressman Ron Estes, will join us to discuss the Schumer shutdown. If you're listening to the John Whitmer Show, we'll be back right after this.
Come on. Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Did you know that parents rank financial literacy as the number one most difficult life skill to teach? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app for families. With Greenlight, you can send money to kids quickly, set up chores, automate allowance, and keep an eye on your kids' spending with real-time notifications. Kids learn to earn, save, and spend wisely, and parents can rest easy knowing their kids are learning about money with guardrails in place. Try Greenlight risk-free today at greenlight.com/odyssey.
Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. Want to remind you to stay informed with up-to-the-minute news by telling Alexa or Google Home to play KNSS, or by listening to KNSS on the Odyssey, iHeartRadio, or TuneIn apps. And of course, make sure you like and follow the John Whitmer Show Facebook and True Social pages, and follow me on X at John R. Whitmer to get all the latest updates on the show. And as always, our studio lines are open, 316-869-1330. We'd love to hear from you. Well, Democrats have shut down the government. You know, it's a Schumer shutdown. Oh, joy. With us now to discuss all of the fun that's not going on in Washington, D.C., is our 4th District Congressman Ron Estes. Congressman, thank you for joining us. It's a pleasure to have you back on the show again, my friend.
Well, thank you, John. It's good to be on the air again.
So I've got the list here of what Senate Democrats say they are. Well, and I guess, you know, House Democrats as well, for that matter, say they are demanding in return for their votes to reopen. And this comes from looks like this is from Fox and CNN. So bipartisan, but it's free health care for illegals. And no, we don't need to argue. I'm not going to put up with the D's that will tell me that because they are. I mean, yes, it's not federal, but it gets transferred to the states and then the states use it to subsidize. So, yes, it's free health care for illegals. Restore NPR and PBS funding. You tell me if I'm wrong in any of these. Revoke rural hospital funding. So you actually did fund rural hospitals. They're going to take that away. Climate and DEI funding for foreign nations. And continue then Biden's Obamacare subsidies. And the price tag on this I've seen is like a trillion something, right?
Trillion and a half. Close to a trillion and a half.
So trillion and a half dollars. And yet you passed the House, because I asked you when you came in, how come you're here and not doing your own job? And I loved your response, which is, well, you did your job.
Yeah, we did our job. Several weeks ago, the House Republicans voted to fund the government, fund it till November 21st. I mean, the problem stems back to we haven't been doing regular order for a long time.
Yes.
I mean, there's 12 appropriations bills that fund the different departments in the government. And, you know, you, calendar year or the fiscal year runs from October 1st to September 30th. And it's been since 1997, since all 12 of those have been done, completed, signed into law by September 30th. The House Appropriation Committee has passed all 12 out of the Appropriations Committee. And, you know, but unfortunately, just the clock ran out on September 30th with all the other things we've been working on with DOGE and with the One Big Beautiful Bill, the Working Families Tax Cuts Act and other things. Appropriations just didn't get done in time. So
we passed some
of them out of the House. So what the speaker proposed and what we voted on several weeks ago was let's keep funding the government at the current levels until November 21st, allow the appropriations process to work out. Pass it through the House, pass it through the Senate, and whatever conference committee work gets done, passing those provisions. And the Democrats said, no, we're not going to do that. And even though they voted for these exact same funding levels in the appropriations last spring.
From what I understand, this is the same budget they voted for 13 times under the previous administration, correct?
It really is. It's just a continuing resolution, which basically means you spend it to current levels. You don't start new programs. You don't change or improve programs or redirect that. It's just keeping the government open, keeping it funding so that we can continue to pay our military, continue to pay our Customs and Border Patrol agent, continue to pay the TSA agents at the airport and air traffic controllers. You know, all the things that a great nation has and should have. And the Democrats came back with a irrational proposal. They said, well, just to fund it till November 21st, we need to spend an extra $1.5 trillion, and do things like, as you mentioned, give free health care to illegal aliens and take money away from rural hospitals. I mean, that's what they're proposing to do in order to fund the government until November 21st.
And why did they think? Why did they think you all would agree to that?
They don't. They're hoping to get the media on their side, which they did, of course.
The Democrat media
is kind of redundant. And being able to talk about this message and make sure that there's enough angst out there. And, you know, the facts aren't on their side. I mean, Speaker Johnson pointed out on, you know, page 57, here's right where you said you're not going to fund the government for every operation unless you give free health care to illegal aliens.
I mean, the frustrating thing about this is it seems to me like Democrats want Joe Lunchpail to work 4 months a year for free so people who shouldn't even be here or don't want to work can get free health care, housing, food, and phones. I mean, that's basically what they're wanting.
It really is. And this is really focused on the discretionary spending, which is about 25% of the total spending of the government. So many other things are continuing to happen. We're still sending out Social Security checks, still making Medicare and Medicaid payments because those are mandatory programs, sometimes called mandatory programs or sometimes called entitlements. I call them automatic programs because they're set in law to happen based on the provisions that somebody's in, whether it's income or whether they've paid into Social Security or Medicare. But it gets back to the basics of the responsibility is to fund the government and make sure that we defend the country. Those are the two main responsibilities of the federal government.
We're talking with our 4th District Congressman Ron Estes. I he's not one of your colleagues, but he's a colleague in the fact that he works in a building. And I want to ask you about the Democratic senator from Arizona, Senator Ruben Gallego. He was asked on CNN about not taking his own pay, or in his case, taking it. I know you, by the way, to your credit, you said the minute the shutdown, you issued a statement saying to hold back your pay, that you would not take pay during the shutdown. So today on CNN, Senator Gallego was asked about the fact that he is taking his pay, which, by the way, Roman mentioned, the senators get paid $174,000 a year. And Senator Gallego claimed he can't afford not to take his pay. But he's one of the guys who shut down the government. And the hypocrisy of this is so glaring. It was such a let-them-eat-cake moment. And I don't even think he gets that.
Yeah, it really is a bad thought process that he's going through from the standpoint of saying he's voting to shut down the government. Just like All but one House Democrat voted to shut down the government, including Kansas Democrat, only Democrat, Sherese
Davis. So Sherese Davis, I was curious how she voted.
She voted to shut down the government. She voted not to fund the government, which in effect shut us down. And so all of these people, all the military folks, all of the Customs and Border Patrol agents, all the air traffic controllers and TSA agents are not getting paid. But you have this senator who's said the quiet thing out loud. The Democrats still want to get paid, even though their staff, their own staff's not going to get paid. But for Senator Gallego to say that he wants to still get his paycheck, regardless of what his staff's getting paid, or the responsibilities he has to oversee the government, that's just irresponsible, particularly when he voted against funding the government.
Yeah, you know, and it does remind me of the times, you know, that Chuck Schumer has been so public about you can't shut down government. It's wrong to shut down government. It's irresponsible to shut down government. I mean, do they even get the hypocrisy? Or, I mean, what do you think about the arguments that people say this is really about him facing a primary from AOC? Do you think there's anything true to that?
I think that is. I think this is a political position they're taking. And it's, as you said, the position they take depends on what politics and what political angle they want to play.
That's true.
And, you know, when I pulled up, I was looking at some pictures in my phone from 2018, the last time we really had a Schumer shutdown, and I had a big picture of a sign out there of, you know, let's stop the Schumer shutdown. And here we go again, having another Schumer shutdown, just because the Democrats don't want to fund the government. They don't want to step up and say, okay, we know we need to negotiate and have appropriations bills passed to fund the government. But instead of actually doing that, or instead of allowing time to finish that work between the House and the Senate, they're saying, well, let's shut the government down so that they can inflict pain on the American people.
If you had to guess, care to speculate how long this thing lasts?
Well, it's really in the Democrats' court. I mean, they have backed themselves into a corner by saying they're not going to fund the government unless they spend this extra $1.5 trillion. And it's just irrational from that standpoint. So I'd like to think that they will have thought through this over the weekend, now that we've been shut down for almost a week, and look at an approach of saying, okay, so let's open up the government, let's continue the discussions. They still get input on the appropriations process.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it still is going to take 60 votes in the Senate to overcome a filibuster to pass a bipartisan agreement on appropriations for the next fiscal year.
$1.5 trillion we don't have, by the way. One quick question. I know I've got to let you run, but folks in, I saw something else that you posted. By the way, I follow you on X. I recommend folks do. You posted a lengthy op-ed that you wrote, or an article that you wrote, where you talked about Social Security and the importance of maintaining Social Security and how folks can be, you know, that it's an economic security lifeline to millions. This is something that's very important to you, that you've worked a lot to make sure that not only it's there, but that it's sustainable. I mean, that's something I was just surprised you're passionate about it.
Yeah, it really is. And I chose to take the role of chairman of the Social Security Subcommittee, which is part of one of our subcommittees on the Ways and Means. And you know, we look at, you know, it's been in place 90 years. The 90 years ago was when the law was passed to implement Social Security. And, you know, when it was put in place, average life expectancy was 63. And so it was set up to say,
you and I are about to 63 at this point.
If you've lived beyond that and you get to 65, then the program that you pay into, the insurance program that you pay into as a worker, you get a little assistance back from the credit that you've earned in doing that work. And so, you know, it was set up there as to help out with, you know, reducing the poverty level in the senior citizens and helping them with, you know, the end of their life, for those folks that actually have lived longer than the average life expectancy. And unfortunately, you know, as we've seen now, lifespans are getting longer. I mean, the average lifespan at birth is about 74. The average lifespan for somebody who reaches age 65 is about 84. And so, you know, we need to look at some of those things about how do we adjust that. We actually have fewer workers now, partly because of technology, but we have fewer workers per retiree. So we've got to get in and make those hard decisions. And we're kind of, when in 1983, they made some changes so that the baby boomers, when they were working, built up the trust fund, and so that it would be there when the baby boomers were retiring. Well, now we're in the midst of that retirement of the baby boomers. We're seeing that that fund's going to run out in 2032. And so we've got to address that. We've got to get serious. We've got to be adults in the room and say, this is a program that has worked, and we want to make sure that it continues to work for the next 90 years.
Well, if I'm glad that, and you're right, we have to make sure that it's sustainable. And that may mean that we have to make sure that that it's there for people in our generation, in the next generation, and in the ones to follow. So I'm glad to see that someone's taking a serious look.
It really is. And you know, you can't ask a millennial or a Gen Z or Gen X and to think they're going to get anything out of Social Security. And the problem is that the trust fund only gets so much money based on what's put in by workers. So when we have fewer workers per retiree in 2032, it's not like there'll be $0. It'll be about 77, 76 cents on the dollar. So people that are currently getting it will get a haircut, and the people that aren't getting it will get less than what they expected. So we've got to, like I said, we've got to be adults. We've got to address this. The sooner we address it, the easier it'll be to solve.
Ron, I appreciate you taking the time. If folks are interested, they want to connect with you. I know I get your Ron's Reads. What's the best way to sign up for that, for example?
Yeah, you can contact us one of two ways. I mean, estes.house.gov, and you know, get into newsletter and get information from us there. Or on the campaign side, you can go to estesforcongress.com. And you know, we don't sell your email addresses or that, but it depends. You get information on both fronts there. The official and the campaign have to be kept separate, and we do keep those separate, so you can get either information from both.
Well, and I appreciate you. I wish you the best. I hope this thing ends soon. But again, it's not in your hands, really.
Yeah, I really do. I do too. I hope that some common sense comes back into the minds of the Democrats in terms of thinking, let's keep the government open. That's the responsibility.
That may be a big
American
ask,
people elect them for. So,
Congressman, thank you again. Thank you for joining us. It's always a pleasure, my friend.
All right. Thank you.
We'll take a quick break, and then our studio lines are open. 316-869-1330. You're listening to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. Wichita's number one talk. We'll be back right after this. Saturday in Winfield. Or in the park. But in this case, it'll be park in Winfield. Maybe not. Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. Wichita's number one talk. Seriously, though, Saturday. Chili Feed and Forum next Saturday. It's going to be a blast.
It's going to be a lot of fun. It really will.
And are you're producing that?
I will be here, so I'll be making sure that you're on the air sounding as professional as ever.
Well, that's a heavy lift. is a heavy lift,
well,
indeed.
I'm looking forward to you as, and I wouldn't say so much a moderator, but you're asking the questions.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And so I'm interested. For each candidate, I'm interested in the responses to the questions that you'll be asking. That's going to be fun.
Yeah, this will be, since this is the first time that so many, well, I mean, a lot of them have been at little small things. I mean, I know that Johnson County had one where I think two or three of them were together. And there have been a couple of other, you can't really even call them forums, but these little panel discussions. There have been a couple of those events before, but this will be the first time that every one of them has been together on the same stage. And it's a big deal. I mean, and kudos to the folks at the Cowley County Republican Party for getting them all there. But it's Ty Masterson, Stacey Rogers, Scott Schwab, Jeff Collier, Doug Billings. I'm assuming Doug will still be there. You know, he was mm-hmm. on the ballot and he was off the ballot. Right. So, but Joy Akins, Charlotte O'Hara, Vicky Schmidt, and Phil Sarnecki. So that's all nine.
And so we've had what, four, five?
So Ty's been on the show. Mm-hmm. Stacy's been on the show. Yep. Dr. Collier, Joy, Charlotte, Vicky. We're still working with Vicky. Okay. Scotty, where I believe Scotty will be on here soon. Phil is going to be on the show. So good. The only one, Doug is refusing to come on the show,
okay.
Which you know, is no loss as far as I'm concerned.
He can't bat 1,000, but boy, we're batting.
Doug's a hack, and you know, whatever, not a loss there. Vicky, I'm still working with Vicky on a scheduling to get her on, and Scotty and I will be talking soon. So,
okay.
But it should be a blast. You can come. There are still tickets available at CowleyCountyGOP.org. And of course, if you don't want to drive to Winfield, there are not a lot of tickets left. But and if not, you can always tune in. Again, it is next Saturday at 6:30. Tune in here on KNSS for live coverage of the Cowley County Republican Party Governor's Choice Chili Feed and Forum. In the meantime, carry on, fellow deplorables.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Once upon a mundane morning, Barb's day got busy without warning. A realtor in need of an open house sign? No, 50 of them, and designed before 9.
My head hurts.
Any mighty tools to help with this plight?
Aha!
Barb made her move. She opened Canva and got in the groove.
Bulk creating Canva sheets. Create 50 signs fit for suburban streets.
Done in a click, all complete.
Sweet!
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at Canva.com.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.